I think they're going to be violent. And we're just like folding t-shirts and shorts at Abercrombie and Fitch. And just like, okay, yeah, like, I don't know what that means. I'm 17 years old. And
were you so like wearing a cutoff? Was it like a cutoff shirt?
Everything was tattered and frayed and looking wonderful.
Welcome to Fuller Butts, a behind-the-scenes plastic surgery podcast. Yes, you heard that right. Join your co-hosts, Dr. Sam Fuller and Dr. Dan Butts, board-certified plastic and reconstructive surgeons, on an exclusive full-access pass into the world of plastic surgery. Combining their expertise and training, Drs. Fuller and Butts will share medical insights, detailed explanations, and lighthearted humor to keep you entertained and informed. We're certain you'll become passionate about the plastic surgery specialty, and between debunking myths, uncovering truths, or just making you laugh out loud at their perspective on this creative and artistic field, we've got something for everyone. From tummy tucks to Botox and mommy makeovers to surgery do-overs, the Fuller Butts podcast will surely satisfy your podcast fix. All right, now let's dive into this episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fuller Butts, a behind-the-scenes look at plastic surgery. How are you doing, Dan?
Good. How are you, Sam?
Doing well. Are you excited for our very first podcast?
I am. It's going to be a blast.
All right. Well, what we were thinking was to give an overview of who we are before we dive into what we do for a living. I think that'll hopefully establish some credibility and just an understanding of where our training has taken us and what our curiosity and interests really are in our practice and in our lives.
Yeah. And just, you know, why we're doing another podcast about plastic surgery.
All right. I'm Dr. Sam Fuller, board certified plastic and reconstructive surgeon. I have an additional board certification in surgery of the hand. I'm originally from Chicago, born and raised, grew up a Notre Dame fan, and eventually went on to attend the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. I double majored in Spanish and pre-med, and then I returned back to Chicago for additional training at the University of Chicago School of Medicine. During my time at Notre Dame, I became very interested, not only in the Spanish language, but was able to do a study abroad in Toledo, Spain, which led to future medical mission trips that I've done now 4 in the Dominican Republic. During my time as a medical student, I was really deciding between orthopedic surgery, plastic surgery, and eventually selected plastic surgery, and I haven't really looked back too much. I stayed at the University of Chicago for my plastic and reconstructive surgery residency, which is 6 years after your 4 years of medical school. And that's where my path crossed with Dan, who was a year behind me in training. And we really helped each other out and sometimes disguised ourselves as each other to make us seem twice as responsible and as hardworking, since we do bear some resemblance, which became a running joke. And another joke that came up during residency was our last name. So the podcast title is not just a clever title. It's actually our last names, Fuller Butts. And we had our chief, our other residents, insisting that we open a practice together that's just called Fuller Butts. And while we didn't end up doing that, here we are years later with the podcast bearing that name, which is both funny and appropriate. During my plastic surgery residency, I fell in love with a few different fields within plastic surgery. Ended up spending an additional year in Baltimore, Maryland, and an orthopedic upper extremity fellowship at the Kurz National Hand Center, which was amazing. Worked with tremendous physicians and staff, and then was recruited back to South Bend, where I work now. It's been 8 years. I work at South Bend Orthopedics, and I'm a hand surgeon. I'm also a plastic surgeon for the community. So I treat Northwest Indiana, Southwest Michigan, a lot of the Midwest, and my focus in plastic surgery is really body contouring. So I do everything from the neck down, including breast augmentations, breast lifts, breast reductions, breast cancer reconstruction, arm lifts, mommy makeovers, tummy tucks, lipo, all of that juicy content that we'll dive into in later podcasts. And I now have 3 kids, all boys, including twins that are 3 and an oldest child, Quinn, who's 6, and they really fill up the rest of my days with endless and bounds of energy and activity. And I'm a very supportive wife, Christina, who's both an artist and an art therapist, who helps me work on other parts of my brain when the scientific side's had a break. So that's just the quick and dirty of
Cliff Notes. Background.
Yeah, the Cliff Notes. Dan, why don't you tell us about your path and you?
Yeah, so I grew up in DePere, Wisconsin, just outside of Green Bay. Lifelong Packer fan, always beating the Bears, which is great. one of the first times we hung out in Chicago. I think it was the Packers winning the Super Bowl. A memorable one.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yep, yep. I'll always bring that one up. Then I went to a small D3 school outside of Madison, Edgewood College. Played soccer there for 4 years. Studied biology. Then went to Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, where initially I was interested in more medicine, kind of immunology sciences. But then really started getting into surgery and realized I liked working with my hands more. And then happened to work with some hand and burn surgeons and kind of learned more about plastic surgery. And that's really what got me interested in the field of plastic surgery, which then led me to University of Chicago for my 6-year residency, and where Sam and I started shadowing for each other and acting like doubles sometimes. And over that 6-year period, really kind of was interested in all the fields at one point or another, hand surgery, microsurgery, and then kind of got more interested in aesthetics towards the end of it, and ended up doing a fellowship in San Francisco, actually focusing on facial aesthetics. But we always knew we'd come back to Milwaukee. We have a lot of family and friends here. And my practices got really busy doing breast and body aesthetics and did a lot of reconstruction early on as well. So I joined Quintess Aesthetic Centers after my first year here and really just kind of, you know, slowly becoming more hyper-focused on breast and body aesthetics. Initially I had one partner, now two partners that just focus solely on facial aesthetics. So kind of it helps having that, you know, as part of the practice where you can kind of have these, you know, everyone very specialized in their particular field. I also have 3 kids. They're 9, 8, and 7 right now, 2 boys and a girl. My wife was a very busy lawyer, and then last year I decided to quit and go back to fashion school to kind of, you know, do something different, which is great. It's just fun, you know, working hard and keeping busy with the family. Sam and I always are chatting after work, and then kind of just spiraled out of that. It's like, why don't we, you know, share some of these discussions and some of the exciting stuff we see and talk about and the experiences that we have and our patients have, to answer some of these questions that we run into on a regular basis.
Yeah. So we are both, practicing plastic surgeons in the Midwest with dark rimmed glasses, dark brown hair, and 3 kids. What separates you from me? What do you think? How do you approach things differently in your practice, would you say?
Like you were saying, you're kind of you do a little bit of everything still. I've kind of more focused down my practice into, you know, just the breast and body, you know, cosmetic side of things. You're still doing, you still do Mohs reconstruction after skin cancer. Obviously, hand surgery is a huge part of your practice. So getting to use kind of, you know, more of those all those skills we learned, the problem solving stuff, which I still use, but probably in a little different way. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, certainly my practice is different. I have a large hand practice. I treat hand, wrists, forearm, elbow issues. That can be work related. It could be injury, sports related. It could be arthritic. It can be newborns with extra fingers. So I really have an array of different issues coming into my office. And then I also treat the full spectrum of just general plastic surgery. So I see a lot of skin cancers, defects, facial flaps that are needed after larger resections. And to me, that really excites me. That's what got me interested in plastic surgery to begin with, is just being able to work on different body parts all the time and keeping my brain interested in learning the anatomy and staying up to date on different muscles and nerves and treatments and indications for that. I'm interested, you had a fellowship in facial aesthetic surgery and you then now hyper-focus or subspecialize really in the body. What drove that? Was it need? Was it, did you just feel like the patients were super happy with their outcomes and it just made sense? Like, what made you fall in love with that part? Because I know that you're super happy with your practice. Like, what led to that?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of just the patients I was seeing. You know, I think partially what, you know, can probably drive our practices, you know, where we end up and what patients we see more of. I was doing a lot of breast reconstruction that then got a good reputation in breast surgery, which then fed referrals to breast reconstruction reductions, aesthetic breast. You know, I was doing some of the other cases, but you know, when I started doing so much volume kind of in one area, I just really liked, I thought I could get the best results doing those things. And if someone else is, you know, down the hall in my same office doing 300 facelifts a year, and I was doing a fraction of that, like they're going to likely, again, trying to get the patient the best result, smoothest experience. So they just kind of trying to make those, experiences as great as possible and streamlined as possible. That kind of just, you know, made it all made more sense to me. And I really like kind of getting into the nitty gritty of, you know, maybe I'm doing 5 tummy tucks a week, but they're all a little bit different, and really trying to look at these different anatomies and small nuances, but little changes in how we do things, where we do the liposuction, this and that can really have a big impact on the result. And you know, the more you do of them, the more I think you appreciate that. And it just takes that time. So I really have no regrets kind of looking, you know, I don't miss out doing, you know, I don't think I'd like to do everything. Like if I was doing 50 facelifts a year and 50 tummy tucks a year and 50 reductions a year, I think, you know, then you, some people are able to do that, but my brain likes to kind of really get, you know, into those nuances. Another big difference between our practice. You want to follow up on that?
Well, I know from your training, partly because I did the same training, that it was robust in body contouring. I mean, we trained with some elite individuals, some forward thinkers. And so I think it's natural to do something you are great at or very well trained at. And so to really situate yourself with a need in the community, with happy patients, with a robust practice. I mean, that's all you can really ask for. There's probably some medical students and residents that are dying to have a practice like that. I know that some of them have reached out to us on social media and, you know, kind of asked us how we've come to our own practices. For me, you know, I'm in more of a smaller town setting, and so there isn't as much volume in any one thing in particular. And so, you know, as it stands currently, I probably have 4 or 5 husband and wife duo patients where I'm treating the husband for carpal tunnel syndrome or thumb arthritis. And even in the past month, I've had 2 mommy makeover patients whose husbands have smashed their hands. One of them needed surgery, one of them didn't, but needed to see them urgently. And to me, that
family medicine plastic surgeon.
It is a little bit of everything. And I think just having that rapport with the patient's family and, you know, talking with the husbands, like I felt like I know them just as well. And so it's been very natural. And the joke is, you know, after I end up, you know, treating their hand injuries, treating their mommy makeovers, they're like asking me, you know, can you take a look at my hip or my shoulder? And I'm like, absolutely not. I know nothing about that. Please do not, you know, ask me to do that.
Yeah.
So there, I have to draw the line.
There's a limit somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. My brain likes to choose things that I do well and get, you know, very good at them. But I still like the broad spectrum of plastic surgery. I don't want to give that up. And at this time,
you're in a very large orthopedic group, which has no other kind of plastic kind of exposure or plastic surgeons, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's similar to how your practice really got built up and busy. I came to town, wanted to work hard and get busy, and started off doing a lot of hand. And then there was a need in the community. There were patients asking, hey, you're a plastic surgeon, can you do this? Can you do that? And was able to build that up. So I'm the only plastic surgeon in my 20 plus partner group where we treat spine, you know, total joints, PMP, physical medicine, rehabilitation, hand and sports. And we're the team doctors for the University of Notre Dame. And we do, you know, robust, heavy volume work. And so I'm kind of leaned on to treat complex wounds. If there's a total knee incision that opens up, or there's somebody who comes in with a motor vehicle accident and they have road rash, you know, I'm kind of on speed dial for, you know, photos and stuff that I'd rather not get at late hours or with my kids, but I'm reviewing them and offering insight as a plastic surgeon's perspective. So it's been fun. And you know, my practice, which is within an orthopedic group, certainly requires me to have some broader spectrum. I can't just be doing cosmetic surgery. Otherwise, you know, what am I doing in a large group?
Yeah.
It needs to make sense. And to me, it's worked out wonderfully because I can do all the things that I love to do.
Yeah. Quintessa is obviously a very different model with, you know, more med spa focus with the surgeons up as the kind of, you know, often the surgical options. We really try to, you know, provide, you know, a specialist for each device. You know, some places it's kind of, you know, one person who's doing lasers, injectables. A lot of times they don't have surgery, non-surgical body contouring options. We really have one nurse dedicated to lasers, one nurse dedicated to injectables, one non-surgical body contouring specialist, and the surgeon to kind of, and everyone can, you know, if we don't have the answer, we have, you know, someone else in the office that, you know, can likely have a different option to try to get the best results. This is, you know, plastic surgery is such a vast field. There's a lot of different ways of doing things, which, you know, everyone can kind of find their niche and find a way to, you know, do what they want to do and really are passionate about, which is great.
Yeah, I think this was great content, a good overview as who we are, how our brains work, and what we have to offer for future podcasts and insights. So I'm super excited to continue the process. I do want to give a shout out to our music intro. The music was graciously offered by Igloo and Hartley. Their hit single from last year, Swayze, is our music. You need to find them on Spotify and listen to them. They have been jamming out for several years. It's actually the lead singer, Jarvis, is a friend from back home growing up. We actually worked together at Abercrombie & Fitch, so it so happens, and stayed in touch. And he actually was in the top five in the UK Billboard several years ago with a hit single in the city. But their music just makes you bounce, puts you in a good mood. It's got awesome combination of synth, of punk pop emo, of rap, of just good beats. Great listening. So I'm super excited to have them as our music, which we'll be playing in and continue to give them shout outs. So certainly go and check them out.
Was that the Abercrombie story? You had that crazy story?
Yeah.
Did you tell me about that one time?
Yeah. So, it's, you know, the story goes.
Is he there for that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he, the lead singer of Igloo and Hartley, and I and another friend, Adam, we all got jobs at Abercrombie & Fitch just to see how it was. And as it turned out, we were paid below minimum wage because we won a class action lawsuit that we just got like $100 like 10 years later. So we were paid like $4 an hour to work at Abercrombie. And then we ended up buying the clothes. So I certainly lost money on that summer job. But the store that we worked at, which was a very nice shopping mall, was just losing quantities and quantities of clothing. And so they actually hired a private eye to come in to investigate. And he noticed that there's obvious shoplifting going on. And so on our shift, he caught somebody that he was very suspicious of, and he came over to me and Jarvis and Adam. He's like, "Hey, you guys got to help me out. I think they're going to be violent." And we're just like folding t-shirts and shorts at Abercrombie & Fitch, and just like, "Okay, yeah, like I don't know what that means. I'm 17 years old." And
were you so like wearing a cutoff? Was it like a cutoff shirt?
Everything was tattered and frayed and looking wonderful on us. And so they left the store, and they had really put in thousands of dollars of merchandise in this stroller. And it was a group of individuals. And so he tried to grab them and stop them as soon as they left. And as he prognosticated, they started swinging at them. And so of course, me and my friends tried to help him, but we also didn't know what we were supposed to do because we didn't really know what his job status was. He obviously wasn't a police officer. He was just like a private investigator. And so he was informing us of our rights, like, "You can't apprehend them, just basically slow them down and let's let the authorities get here." And so we're basically just shadow boxing as they're like trying to swing and punch at us and kick us, and we're just dodging, which creates a whole scene in this like very nice outdoor large mall in the Northwest Chicago area. And so they end up backing us out through J. Crew, which is like a two-way store.
You went through J. Crew?
Yeah. And so we end up getting all the way to their car, waiting for the cops to arrive, and they, you know, speed off, and Jarvis throws the stroller on their car and, you know, yells at them that they forgot their stroller, which was just totally used to shoplift. And then we walked back scratched up, and they told us that we had the rest of the day off of pay, which we were super happy with, which may be why Igloo and Hartley has another hit song called Violent and Young, actually, as I'm thinking about it. I wonder if that was based on that Abercrombie and Fitch a moment. But yeah, that was one of our many connections growing up. A great person, great family. Keep in touch with him and his sister, and their music is wonderful, as you guys have heard already.
Yeah, we should put a link up or something, however that works.
Yeah.
Still working out those kinks.
We'll put some links up to our Instagram, social media, to Igloo and Hartley. Feel free to subscribe. We appreciate your time listening to our first podcast. We're going to dive into plastic surgery further and further. Please provide us whatever feedback you can so that we can tailor it to our viewership. What's next week's topic, Dan? Do you know?
I think we're going to dive into some myths around breast augmentation.
Yeah, so I think on the docket is breast augmentation. We're going to discuss what Frankenstein has to do with breast augmentation recovery. Or we're going to talk about what is an internal bra and what
expiration dates.
Expiration dates, real, fact, myth, what's going on?
Yeah.
Can you drink alcohol if you have an implant?
Someone asked me that. They thought they could never drink alcohol with their breast implant.
There's some frequently asked questions that we will answer and more. Check us out next week to debunk some myths about breast augmentation. And thank you guys for listening.
Have a good night.
Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Fuller Butts, a behind-the-scenes plastic surgery podcast. Doctors Fuller and Butts are so appreciative of your time and attention. We invite you to subscribe, share, and continue to enjoy our plastic surgery perspective. Feel free to reach out on Instagram at either SFullerSurgeryMD or at DanielButtsMD, that's Butts with a Z, for comments, suggestions, and support. Remember, be artsy, stay scientific, and make life fun. We hope you'll join us again on the next episode of Fuller Butts.